Hello, and welcome to Creative Purpose, where we'll talk about taking action towards your creative desires and look at what's holding you back so you can take bold moves forward. I'm so excited to share this conversation I had with Tina Maria. She's an ethical jeweler and maker and all over creative, multi-passionate person. And we just dive right in. So take a listen. So are you still working full time then and then trying to create on the side, or what's all that looking like?
Yeah. So November, circumstances happened and I'm no longer working at my 9-to-5. So I stepped into the full-time role as an entrepreneur and a joke artist. So that's where these obstacles and challenges, because, you know, sometimes you have a plan for yourself to say, okay, when I'm ready, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm pretty sure many people who are full-time and doing their passion on the side, or their purpose on the side, say, okay, yeah, I just need my time. But when it just comes up, when life happens and it's just like out of your control, and it's just like, okay, this is your last day. And, you know, you realize the comfort zone is now just like pulled from under you like a rug.
Yeah.
And the consistency of a paycheck, benefits, you know, whatever your coverage was, is just like pulled right under you. And it's just like, oh wow, this is really gonna happen. So it's like,
huge transition.
It is a big transition. And I've learned, because it was bittersweet, because it was a very stressful and unhealthy from my mindset. It was unhealthy. Mentally and emotionally, it just, you know, the pandemic brought that into the spotlight, that how I was as an employee there. And it was just like, this was not good for me. But I knew that it wasn't good, but it was just like, I'll just find another position. And that still wouldn't have been better, because it wasn't fulfilling. The point, what I've learned since then, since that transition, is the importance of having, you know, if you have a passion and turning it, and it's your purpose, and this purpose starts to now become your career, that is obviously in alignment with God's will over your life, right? But if you still feel like you need to, and I say this to whoever's listening out there, like, if you really feel the need to still want to work, whether it be full-time or part-time, be sure it's in alignment with your core values. Be sure it's in alignment with who you are as a creative, as an artist, as an entrepreneur. And don't sell out, basically.
Right.
Don't sell out. And that's the process that I'm learning. You know, there's mistakes where it's just like, okay, I got this money, my savings and this and this and that. And then you're spending on I spend on materials, I spend on this, I spend on that. Not really having a strategy. That's the importance. When you go from, whether it's by force and shock that you lose your job, or by choice that you say, okay, I just can't do it, I'm ready to go, or you have prepared for that transition, you still need to strategize on the steps to building your business. To establishing yourself creatively, to establish yourself financially, there's decisions that needs to be made. And for me personally, because I felt I needed to catch up with my life, because I felt like I've been in this valley of dry bones for so long, that it's the time to now get out of it. But I didn't strategize. And I didn't strategize when I say spiritually, It's all on paper, but when you're just all over the place, it's just like you're not really strategizing, and that was something that I pass on to those out there that be it whether you're strong in faith or not, it is important to have a divine connection when it comes to strategizing your next plateau of your life, your journey, the transition to the next season, however you want to interpret it or receive it, you must strategize spiritually first because that's, I think that helps. That's the foundation, the root of things. And that's just my reality of it. And it was just like, I can do this, I can, okay. But then your money's being eaten away, and then you're realizing, okay, vendors are not keeping up with their promises, and now you've got to be like scripting, scrounge around, and that's just the reality. And I and don't get me wrong, it's not. I don't want people to feel like, well, if this is like this, I don't want to be a business person. No.
Right. So worth it. All the headaches.
It's so worth it. I tell you right now, it is so worth it. It really is because it's a learning curve, it's a learning process. And if you can push through that, I mean, if you can push through the corporate politics, I say politics, if you can deal with that daily and lose your soul at the same time, I mean, come on. Being an entrepreneur, yes. It's not a piece of cake, but trust me, I have faith, and that's about the faith. Like, I know at the end of the road, this is gonna not just benefit me, but it's gonna benefit my clients. And then as an advocate, it's going to benefit those I seek to serve. So that's what I keep seeing as the final. For me as a as an artist, an advocate, an entrepreneur, that's what I see. Like that part, like even if I have to create in creating avatars and I have to put them up on the wall on my vision board, like these are my clients, these are who I seek to serve. And whenever those obstacles come around and those challenges, and I feel like I just want to throw the papers up in the air, I look at those avatars and just be like, yeah, okay, nope. There's my why. These are my whys. These are my reasons. And yeah.
Well, I love that because it has to, that's where it all starts. And if we don't have that strong, meaningful why, if it's just based on money, we will stop way before the mission is accomplished as far as like what the big vision is. And even that, it's like the vision changes as we go along, as we change, as we grow, as we learn. And so I think it's so important to at least have that servant heart of like a piece to the pie, because that's what's going to keep you going and stuff. And I love how you shared, like, yeah, that transition probably didn't look at all like you thought it would. And there's been obstacles in the way, because I experienced that as well. You know, it's like, I think there is this weird thing that happens to some people that it's just like you feel frozen because it's like, well, okay, I have this time. Now, what do I do? Because it is a new area that we're having to learn. And sometimes we don't take that into consideration as far as like learning. Because I think back to, okay, I spent 4 years in college, you know, for that education. Plus, I spent another, what, 2.5, 3 years for more education. Plus, I learned on the job, you know? So it's like, why did I think that I could start my own business and have it happen in 6 months or a year or whatever? You know, like all those weird things that we think going to happen when I haven't been in this arena yet completely. And so I think that's where
And it also
getting
has to have,
realistic about it.
and the other reality is to have a good tribe. That helps when you have a tribe of people who see the greatness in you and see the excellence. that you can produce, that you can give birth to, and because they have the same mindset, that helps too, because now you can say, hey guys, like, I'm feeling stuck, or I need somebody to pray over me. I need prayer, or I need to be held accountable for things. And the resistance will be there when you come to your tribe, when you come to your peoples and your prayer warriors, and they hold you down and they lift you up and they don't let you go. And they remind you of the wonderment about you, if that makes sense. They remind you of who you are and never let you forget where you came from, and never let you forget who you are and your purpose and being in alignment. And then they help you process, like, okay, what is it that is getting you? They can help you process to the point what needs to be done. And then there's also, you know, a lot of times, many of us, you know, I think with this pandemic, these last 2 years, it has really brought people to realize that they have been living through a process of anxiety, overwhelmness, mental health, emotional health, wellness, like all of these things. And when you're forced globally, the world is forced to just stop and not move and be, you know, in the house, be quarantined. And when you're quarantined, you're realizing, wait, this is what I've been maneuvering through 9 to 5, and then 5 to 10 or 5 to whatever around the clock. You mean I've been doing this through all chaos? You mean I've been living like this? This has been going on. And, you know, this pandemic and then everything that was going on in the world that was a reckoning or an awakening, you're having your own personal awakening, because this wasn't the vision I had for 2020. This wasn't the vision I had for 2021. Like, what's happening here? And the reality is, from a spiritual perspective, there's something much greater and more powerful that no man can even compare to. So from that level. And then when you're talking on a health and wellness and wholeness level, the reality is many of us in the world didn't realize that we're processing and navigating through life, daily chores as adults, and didn't realize that, why am I feeling anxious? Well, you were always anxious, but you were just navigating in a way that you had to survive. You were doing things in a way that was survival, be it toxic way, be it unhealthy, whatever. You were doing things and you had chaos that you couldn't really visually see what was going on. And then you're wondering why you're like, you know, a person would say, oh, I'm got to take this medication, that medication, my stress level is high, or I'm pre-diabetic because you're stress eating and you're eating unhealthy and all of these things. And the root of it is spiritual, and the root of it is medical, like your wellness. And I think that's what was happening, you know, and speaking for myself, there was things that I was just like, wow, this is what was going on. I realized how much of an introvert I was. I realized I was navigating through life as an introvert. And 2020 brought that out, because when, being that I'm high risk with this pandemic, I'm asthmatic. And I was the second person to be sent home. And the introvert part of me never said, guys, I have respiratory, maybe I should go home. I was just like, well, I'm going to wait this out and see what happens, like if we all get sent home. But I didn't think we were going to be sent home for that long. So when I got home, I was already pretty much set up because of my side passion of work. So I was set up. So the first day, that Friday, when I woke up to work from home, I was in heaven. I was just like, fantastic. I love this. I was relishing in that transition. I took it on well. I was like, And when Monday
Right.
came around and everybody else in the office got sent home, everybody was just like, I can't handle this. I can't. This is not working for me. I need to be around people. And I'm sitting there in the calls, like, you know, trying to hold my glee and like, oh, well, I'm loving this.
Like, I'm living my best life right now. Hello.
I don't gotta be around y'all. My energy's not drained. You know,
yeah.
I was living my life and I was sitting there with glee, like, yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing when once all of that is pulled, just like, okay, I'm still living my best life, but now I gotta do it as an entrepreneur. Like, whoa.
And yeah.
There's gonna be that day when I'm going to have a staff. I'm going to have employees mm-hmm. be responsible for not only my medical benefits and other things, but the benefits of my employees for their families. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What?
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's a whole nother level, yeah, to be thinking about.
A whole level to think about. But I think for people like myself and you as well, like, we know the greater vision, but let's not rush and focus on the great. That's a lesson that I'm learning. Like, okay, I know my greater vision. I know what my mission is, and I need to focus on the baby steps. I need to focus on the process.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times where I'm just like, focusing on the process is taking too long. I need to get to the finish line, but that's where the chaos comes in, the outside noise.
Yeah.
And that's where you start overthinking and you start like the perfectionist process. And yeah, oh, nope, wrong. All wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I've heard you say a few times, the baby steps. And yeah. I used to say that until the other day, one of my, I call them colleagues, you know, as far as like somebody in a coaching program I'm with. And they said, let's not call them baby steps anymore. Let's just call them steps. And I like that reframe because it's like, it's still a step, no matter how, what we consider small, what we consider big, what we consider a successful step or a step back, like it's still a step and that's movement, right? And anytime we're building something, we want that movement. We want that action because that's how we're going to see it brought to life. And so I don't know if that resonates with you, but I thought I would share it because it's been helpful to me to look at it differently.
Thank you. That will help because I think that helps my anxiousness and feeling overwhelmed when I keep thinking of these baby steps. I'm going to take that. Yeah. I'm going to reframe it into steps because it is.
Yeah, and
we're not taking baby steps when we're walking in life, when we're walking in the streets.
Right.
Stepping left foot, right foot. So yeah, thank you for that. I received that. Thank you.
Yeah. Cause what, so like, as you've kind of transitioned into this, and what is like one of the major things that you've learned just about, like you mentioned strategy before.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what does that look like for you? How do you strategize? Like, do you spend like a weekend just really thinking through things? Or I always find it fun to do that stuff, but I'm also curious, like, how do other people do it? And what does that look like?
I know for some people, when they strategize, they can get a pen and paper and just like really hash it out. I've tried that. And then my mind, I don't like to label myself as ADHD, but after a while it's just kind of like, I'm writing this and then all of a sudden other thoughts are coming up. And then I'm like on another separate piece of paper, I'm starting to write that and then another thought and another thought. And then I'm sketching and then I'm doing this. So for me, pen to paper, I don't crumble up those thoughts. It just ends up becoming piles of papers of thoughts.
Yes.
Things like that.
Me too. Yes.
So I have to be honest with everyone out there and you as well. And be honest with myself. The writing pen to paper is great, but all it does is just have like stacks of papers that when I able to look back and I'm like, oh wait. And then I've now got to put them in organized files of like goes in this journal, this goes in this sketchbook, you know. For me, strategy, the way I think it works is just really stepping away from the jeweler's bench, stepping away from my desk, stepping away out of that area, whatever area of my room, my home, just stepping out and going out into the world. Use that time to practice my photography, or just use that time to soak up, because I love art. I love everything about art. And when I have, whether I have my camera or I forget my camera and I have my camera phone, I people watch because I observe, because then I get a lot of inspiration. For me, when I walk out the door, it's very serendipitous. It's always been like that for me. It's just, well, where are you going? Unless I specifically know I'm going to a specific art function or fashion function or music event. It's serendipitous. And somehow or some form or another, a strategy comes. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just like, if I just get into life in the city, what's going on out here in the city streets, there's some form that when I come back in the house, the strategy starts. Even when I look at those scraps of papers, it's like, wait, while I'm out, I'm just like, wait, I wrote something like that. I wrote something that has to do. And then I come back, and then it starts to make sense of, okay, this is what I need to do. And how do I keep myself present at that moment where I'm just not like a volcano where all these wonderful ideas and beautiful things coming out of my head, like a volcano's just spurting? How do I funnel it into, pipe it through evenly, where it's just like, and that's the only, I don't know if this makes any sense to anyone out there, but that's how it happens for me. A good friend of mine's Jamie, he was like, yeah, you're definitely like a volcano, like all these wonderful things, but you've got to like have it go down a path, and not have destroy the city below, so my strategy starts with that, just not having all these things, just one bit at a time is the strategy. So it's at the moment practicing my photography for a project that was a seed, a mustard seed that was put into me, and it was a divine thing back in 2020. And it's a process that I was resistant, like, you sure, God, this is what you want me to do? Like, I'm not qualified for this. And then I've learned in the last 2 years through sermons and our sisterhood, who said God qualifies you? No man qualifies you, right? And so that strategy of qualification is what starts for me. Like, my Heavenly Father says I'm qualified. If he's put this in, if this thought came about, this mustard seed, then obviously he's like, yeah, I know you can do this. So now this coming, the strategy is, being in prayer and meditation. That's the strategy for me. And as I'm out there, that's when it's just like a lot of times, if you're, for me, my creativity and my spirituality is very intertwined. So if I'm off balance in one area, I'm off balance in the other. So when I get soaked in one area and I go out and just everything just starts to come about, the creative ideas, the flow. And if I don't have pen and paper, I'm voice noting it. And I'm just like, in my voice notes, when I play it back, I hear the excitement and I'm just like, oh, this is wonderful. So for me, that's, my strategy comes in that way. In many ways, it's very serendipitous.
Yeah, that makes sense to me because I feel like that's when a lot of my good ideas come to me as well, when I'm on my walks or in movement in nature around the city here in Bangkok. And it's just like that's part of it, like feeding in, and really feeling it in my body. Like, yes, that's the next step. But I don't know, like as a creative, we have so many ideas always popping in. And so I've had to learn, like, okay, what do you have capacity to do in this next season? I kind of think of like quarterly seasons, just because that gives me enough time to kind of see some things brought to life and, you know, work on it and stuff. But it's so hard to like have to wait on some of those like mustard seeds, right? Yep. Like, we know they're there, but I don't have the time, energy, or space, investment, whatever, all the many things that it takes.
Yeah. And it takes patience too.
Yeah. And so, but it is fun to see those ideas finally come to life, right? Yep. It's like, okay, I've been sitting on it this long. It's time to take action now. And so I like that strategy, just like feeling into it and stuff. And you like, you figured out what works for you, right? Like, and that's the beautiful piece. Like, you can lean into that now.
Yeah. And it's also leaning into being honest with yourself, like you said, what your capacity level is, and giving yourself grace with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm multi-passionate. I learned that through Jatea, our coach. And I was like, oh, you mean there's a thing? That's what I am?
It's legit.
Really, for real. It's not like, oh, you're all over the place. That was what it was. So I've always been silent. Like, am I all over the place? Is there something wrong with me? Like, what are you doing now? I thought you were doing this. No, I'm multi-passionate. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
Legit. So now that makes sense to why my mind is all over like the flow.
Yeah.
So you have to really, like you said, know what your capacity level is, be honest with yourself, hold yourself accountable for it, give yourself grace, be present in the steps, not the baby steps, be present in the steps of your journey, of this path, the path of your journey. That's the best strategy, for at least for me. And when you're finding your mind getting too busy with the outside noise and the chaos, that's when you have to take a step back. Reset yourself, recharge yourself, rest, and receive what your next strategy is divinely, like that divine connection, because that's really the best way. I mean, that's what I've been learning the entire month of June, and I had to keep it real. I was like, you know, I have a weird sense of humor spiritually, so I'm like, JC, like, what's up? know? I know I'm supposed to rest. I know your father says to rest, but I mean, really, like, dude, this is not easy for me. Like, resting and being still, like, I need to do something. I need to feel productive. And it's like, yeah, you're productive, but you're productive like a chicken without a head.
Because
you're not talking to me first.
Yeah. And that's so hard to sit in our, like the American culture, at least, of productivity is key, having something to show for your time. But then it's like, well, rest is active and I need it. But yeah, I don't like those seasons, especially when they last way longer than I want it to, because I'm like, come on now. I need something to do.
Yes.
But I'm not quite sure yet. And so I also think it, you know, like you were talking about before, knowing what the holdup is.
Mm-hmm.
Is it some, you know, block that you're having? Is it something that you need to work through?
Yeah.
Are you shying away from something for a reason? Because we, you know, I think both of us, we know what the bigger vision is. And so it's like, we're not going to get there without taking action. So I think it is like this tension, right? Knowing what is active rest and what is just being afraid or whatever. And I think that's what, you know, that community does is it kind of is a reflection, and it gives people an opportunity to ask questions so that you can really dig into it deeper and really understand, is it active rest? Is it something else? And so that's why I think community is key, especially for solo entrepreneurs.
It's very
to key. Find that group of people
end up I know I've recently had moments when, you know, going through financial strife, and that's what I have to be vulnerable and transparent right now. It's just, as a solopreneur and as a creative, as an artist, when the financials hit you and you're that fear of you're seeing your finances dwindling and there's nothing coming in rapidly or steady like when you had a 9-to-5, that plays a lot too, like in the blockage and the fears and the weary hearts. And then you start to isolate yourself because you got to figure out what's your next move, what's your next thing. And yet you spiritually, you know that you need to rest. You know, you receive many numerous messages and there's many signs that it's like rest, but you can't hear that right now because you're saying like, I said I had to do this. I said I was going to be doing this. People, you're worrying about what people are like holding mm-hmm. you accountable for. You were going to do this. I thought you were going to see a new collection. I thought you were going to see new pieces to this collection, this and your website and your podcast. And it's just like, I've made those steps and I can't see that either because I'm focused on the fear of my financial stability. And mm-hmm. the real talk about it is that when you're trying to do things, you're trying to be in the driver's seat and it's not about you. It's about that spiritual connection and knowing that your Heavenly Father has got your back. Like, you just have to sit back and rest so he can tell you, there's the strategy. Here's what you need to do. I got you covered. I will never let you fall. I will never let that happen. We're his children. Mm-hmm. We're his sons mm-hmm. and daughters. He's never going to leave us. We have to turn into scripture during that time of rest. And I have to keep it real. I had to learn how to, like, when the weariness comes in my heart, sit down, hash it out in prayer and worship, turn to scripture. And then I found, you know, this month, that weariness, that fear was just not even there. It started to subside, you know. I have sisters that from our cohort that the other day when they saw me, I was doing my best to like be the sunshine, and it just it was like, yeah, you're not looking good, what's going on? So this is where it's important you have a tribe who sees you. And mm-hmm. being a person, a woman, that my entire life I've never been seen, I've been unseen, I've been unheard, I've never been able to have a voice, I've been dismissed, I've been abandoned, rejected, all of that, to be mm-hmm. in a friendship, a circle of friends who are spirit-led and hold you accountable and see you,
mm-hmm.
that's a scary process too, you know, because it's like, wow, I'm being seen. And one of them was like, well, I was like, you know, this is all new for me. And one of them was saying, she was like, because you're being seen, because you're seen, finally you're being seen. And I was like, shut up. And yeah, you know, but
yeah,
like, be quiet. But yeah, that's so true. And, mm-hmm. and the thing was, the old me wouldn't have been able to receive them. You know, I could have, in my own way, would have been that toxic individual where I would be rejecting these good women in my life, these good friendships, this tribe. Like, mm-hmm. they see such greatness in me and they see the excellence that I'm capable of and are helping me through it. But the old me would have been like testing them. Like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but let's see if you really mean, because so many people have betrayed me. So many people have dismissed me, so many people have rejected me, have violated me, whatever it is. Let's see if you mean what you say. I know you're good. I can see it. I feel it in my spirit, but I'm going to test you. And that can be toxic. That can be unhealthy in that type of relationship. So this new me, or this mature me, the me that was always inside and buried and hidden that I had to reconnect with helped me reconnect with a lot of things in all areas. Reconnect creatively, reconnect spiritually, reconnect in my friendships, those that stuck around, which is not many. And I'm fine with that because those are the true friends from my friends. And then the new ones, like it has me really holding even myself accountable on how to be a better friend in those relationships and the future of my husband. Like all of this is, it's wonderful. And that's even sort of a strategy process too, that helps creatively when you can really see where you've been and your process during that time and how it's grown and shifted and transitioned and matured. That's a strategy too. It's a process and it's steps, like you said, and it's a strategy because it's like you know what not to do and you recognize, oh, there's a trigger, but see, I'm not navigating in the way I used to. Now I'm navigating in a healthier way, where I'm asking for help, where I'm seeing it, where I'm taking rest, where I'm, you know, being honest with myself first. When you look at the reflection of yourself, what do you see? What are you projecting out into the world? What's your heart language? You know, and I learned that, like, my heart language, I protected and guarded it so much that it got buried with who the little girl was. It got buried with her. And I buried it so deeply with all these masks and these negative labels that, you know, I forgot what my heart language was. But the thing that's so, I don't know if it's contradictory, but weird or whatever, how you want to turn it, but in forgetting that heart language, I never projected to the world harshness or ugly. I was this beautiful imperfection, you know, beauty on the outside, but so many imperfections going on, be it scars or whatever. I never projected ugliness, if that makes sense. I never projected ugliness in my creativity. Whatever I made, I just, that subconscious, that inner me was like, ooh, beauty, ooh, love, grace, harmony.
Yeah.
You know, that's the language of my heart. And I was putting it subconsciously, not realizing it was coming out in my creative work, in my artistry. But in some relationships, no, wasn't. I was still guarded. I was still hiding. I was still used to being the people pleaser.
Yeah.
In relationships, I became the people pleaser. I became this person that I know what it feels like to be rejected, abandoned, abused, you know, violated. I know what it feels. So when you have empathy for someone else, it's like, you're having empathy for someone who's toxic and not right, be it a friendship or a romance or coworker, and you're pouring into people who are just, who's continuing the abuse you're used to. It becomes normalcy, if that makes sense. And, you know, these are things that a lot of, I think, artists and creative, I think, that's our language too, where if you speak to a lot, I've met so many that when they tell their stories, they've come from abusive backgrounds, they've come from poverty, they've come from something that people told them that they were a misfit or they were imperfect or they were just, but when the world sees them, it's like, but you perform such this masterful beauty, you bring beauty to the world. And it's like, yeah. It's a process. You know, like, and I, to me, when I see that, it makes me wonder what their language of their heart is, you know, that they protected. that they didn't allow it to get infected and corroded, you know, like the arteries and the heart when you're eating bad and you're just feeding your body all these bad nutrients and unhealthy things, your heart gets affected. So all these chaos and bad experiences, traumatic, abusive, whatever it is, struggles of life, if it doesn't, if you're doing something that's not really infecting that heart language and corroding it, that you're able to produce beauty, that's, I think, to me, that's divine. Divine.
Yeah.
People, you know, to me, faith is not about religion. It's about relationship, about a connection. And when you have a relationship with a divine power, you can have a relationship with the world around you, beginning with yourself, if that makes sense. And I think that's what it is. Subconsciously, they may not be aware of whatever choice of faith they have. It's that connection to that faith. Like, really quick, watching the story of Tina and Ike, Tina Turner and Ike Turner, and watching that, and this beautiful voice, her mother abandoned her. Her childhood was rough. She abandoned her. She was this shy Tina, but this powerful voice that attracted a toxic relationship that ended up almost took her life if she didn't escape. You see, so, and then a friend who was part of that group back in the days, one of her background singers, ended up being a friend who was spiritually grounded in Buddhist, I believe it is. And, you know, that faith is what kept Tina going. So it's, you know, things are divine. And I believe it, and I fully believe it. God brings the right people back into your life and brings new people into your life, because he's like, I have an assignment. I put this, this is your calling. Let's get this done. Be obedient, you know? And when I look at her story, it resonates with me because it was like, I was in abusive relationships, very bad. That it's only by the grace of God that I was just out of that. You know, I'm alive, you know? It's through the grace of God, those suicidal thoughts I had when I was younger through adulthood, I didn't take my life. You see, so there's that heart language. Mine was beauty, love, grace, harmony. And in order for that to not be infected, I did everything in my power to protect it. So I buried it. You know, I didn't have a heart and heart, but I just had it guarded in like this cast iron gates. We're a little light. There was enough, you know, it's like an iron mask that had holes so that light still was coming in to keep it pumping and nourished. And but not too much, because if I let too much, that means all of you people are going to get in and all this negative will infect it. And I'll become a person that I wouldn't be happy with, you know. So I know that I went to a whole new direction, but
nice.
It all ties into the beauty of, you know, of having beauty in the world of chaos and projecting that. And as a creative, I think that's what many of us, we express it in that way. The chaos we have come from, the chaos that we live around, the environment, the news, however, and for us to shut it off, we create. And we have to do things to keep, we have to strategize and we have to go through a process and we have to rest in order to project to the world that, hey, this is not, it's not all ugly out there, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think there's two things like that I heard from that. It's like, one, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, is I wish that we would see ourselves more of how others see us. Like that is our internal go-to instead of like the opposite of like, oh, I'm so bad at this and stuff. It's like, that's not how other people see us. Why can't we lean on that heavier?
Yeah.
You know?
It's true. I think that too is because of labels that we received, and subconsciously it has made us believe that, well, you think you could do that? Okay, well, yeah. And a lot of times, I know for me personally, I'm hard on myself.
Yes, me too.
I'm hard on myself, and I have to keep it real too with that. I can be hard on myself when I start overthinking of like that overthinking process, like, oh, I should have done this. I should have said that. I wish I would have just, you know, I have a hard time saying no to people because I don't want to offend them, but yet now I'm obligated to things or I'm in a situation that I really didn't want to be in, but because I don't want to hurt their feelings, never mind how I feel. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's how we see ourselves. We don't take time to see ourselves the way the outside world sees us. I've learned to receive when people say, oh, you look so beautiful, or you're beautiful, and this, and it's just like, it was really, I used to be like, well, you just have to say that. You're just nice.
You know? What do you want? My go-to is, what do you want?
Like, get to the point. That's exactly what I was about to say. And I think that's the introvert part, like, all right, you set me up for something. What do you want? Like, because what's with the compliments? Like, just get to the point. And you don't want to come out rude, but it's just kind of like you start to tense up, and it's like that little anxiousness. I think that's an introvert thing. It's just kind of like, all right, I'm about to have a noose put around my neck. And like, what do you want? And it's nothing like that at all. We have these ideas that it's going to be the worst, and it's just face value. This person really sees you as a beautiful person. This person really sees you as a talent, creative, as like you've got all these things going for you. Like, just receive it. Shut up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Know?
Take it in.
Yeah.
And I learned that. Like, I lived with taking mirror because of the cycles of abuse that I went through. I took down mirrors because I was distorted. Mm-hmm. My view and vision of myself was so distorted. It was like walking in the fun house of mirrors or house of mirrors. And you see, that's how I walked around from youth, childhood through adulthood, part of my adulthood. Whenever I would look in the mirror, it was me in that fun house. There was no solid, like, it was all distorted. And that was the way I saw myself. So people were like, one person who, she was a friend that was good and I rejected. And she said, so how do you do your hair? I said, I've mastered it so well that I don't have mirrors in my bedroom. I took the mirrors down because I used to have all these beautiful type of mirrors in my living room. I took them all down. And so when I'm in the bathroom, I learned to give myself seconds to be like, woo-hoo. And I learned how to master doing my hair without having to stare at myself in the mirror long enough. And if I did, there's where the overthinking and the perfectionist came, where it's like, now I'm in the bathroom for 2 hours or an hour trying to perfect what is imperfect. So the world can see me as perfect and what they want to say, you know? And yeah, it was, let me tell you, it was a draining process. It really was. It was very draining. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize it was draining until I stopped doing it.
Right. Right.
When you stop doing that process and you realize, geez, the hell was I like, it took me that long. Like, that's a lot of energy.
Yes. That's what I was just going to say. How much energy we give to things. And I don't want to say silly things because they are things. Like, I've kind of similar, like, grown up with that weird self-image and stuff because of acne young and all this stuff. Like, I just still don't see myself, and I'm just like always fighting against, like, what why are you giving it this much energy? It does not matter. Like, in the grand scheme of things, it does not matter. So why are we using our creative energy on this and not on that? So,
exactly. And that is, yeah. And it ties into it, because when you, for me, you know, even when there's moments when I was able to create, because that morning started out me spending an hour and 15 minutes in the bathroom trying to perfect what I look like in the afternoon and in the evening. Now I'm in, you know, at the time I was studying footwear and accessory design. So now I spent an hour and a half or an hour and 15 minutes in the bathroom to perfect this look that everybody's like, oh, I love your style. I love your look. And you're just like, yeah, you're just saying that. And mm-hmm. it's like, now I'm spending time to perfect a sketch or perfect what the teacher has assigned for us, perfect my homework. And it was just like, that's what happens when you're, as a creative, when you're focusing your energy on, like you said, it's not silly things, but this thing that you're doing, this repetitive process, and you're putting your energy on something repetitive, it affects your creativity. Now you're being a perfectionist, like erasing it or ripping up the sketch paper. And then next thing you know, you got to buy a new sketch pad because you mm-hmm. kept trying to perfect something that to someone else, they would be like, wow, you sketched that? You did that? Like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You made this jewelry piece? Like, and it's just like, that was even a process too. Because when I started out self-taught as a jewelry artist, and then when back in, I think it's 2014, 2016, I started to take metalsmithing classes. And the first thing I learned was being silversmithing. And within 6 weeks, I made rings and a cocktail, two cocktail rings, a cigar band ring, bracelets. In 6 weeks, I managed to do this and not have any skills of silversmithing. It was like, I went in there expecting to do, you know, the perfect thing like you learn in college as footwear mm-hmm. accessory design, like get your notes, you learn about what is the, you know, the parts of the foot, the bones and all this stuff, the structure. And it's like, as a creative, it's just like, why do I need to know about the foot, the toes and all, but that is necessary to know. But mm-hmm. here, as a silversmith with this school, I was like, I was prepared to learn about what the wrist, the importance of the wrist and the length between the earlobe and the neck itself or neckline. I was prepared for that. And the rings, your hands, the importance of measurements. I was ready for that. I come in, they give me my materials and they was like, okay, so you're going to make stack rings. And I was like, all right. And I'm getting my notebook. And she was like, oh no, take out the material. I'm like, wait, what? So that perfectionism, I was like, well, how am I going to prepare for this? Like, I need to prepare to make these perfect. Nope, you're just going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, that process of life as a creative is just like, just get it, just do it. Just don't worry about, like, just get the process done. Like, start the process, just start it. And we'll help you and guide you through it. And that's life, you know, that's what God is telling us. Give me something to bless. I will give mm-hmm. you, I will provide what you need. Here it is, I wanted to learn silversmithing. She gave me the tools and the materials and the little stones, and it's showing me and providing. And it's the same, it's a, you know, a metaphor, but it's the same way of life and faith. Like, don't stop worrying about perfecting. We're not perfect. Stop worrying about mm-hmm. the goal of, stop putting your energy on something when you need to just put your energy and something to produce and something to just start. Just start. Don't worry mm-hmm. about. Yeah, just let go of the
Well, it's kind of like that 10,000 hour rule, right? Yeah, like,
I've heard of it briefly, so you might have to educate.
Yeah, so, but it's just like, you just think of like elite athletes or anybody just really excellent at what they do, it's because they've banked the hours of doing it mm-hmm. right, Michael Jordan did not start dunking when he first started to play. He had to put in those 10,000 hours of doing, you know, or anybody at a high level and stuff. And so, like, I have to remind myself that kind of like before, right? Like, you're starting something new, so you can't expect to be going at it 100% out of the gate, you know, like, and it's just crazy to me that I thought that would be the case, you know, like, I'm like, what were you thinking that, you know, but then I'm like, is it because I'm, you know, mid age. And so age has a factor, like I should know this by now. I should, you know, but it's like so many people are retraining right now. And so we have to like get that message out. Like, it's not going to be perfect right off the bat. So don't give up.
Yeah. And let go of that. Oh my God. People will start thinking, you're doing this now at this age? Like, I really let go of that. Like, don't worry.
I got lots of years ahead of me.
Like, that actor that Aiello, Danny Aiello, his first acting gig was when he was in his mid-40s, I think, or late-40s. That was his first acting gig with Robert De Niro. It's a baseball movie. And that was his first acting gig at that age. You know, I'm pretty sure he was going through the outside noise process and all that stuff. But it didn't stop him. I mean, there's many artists that I've read about, performers, singers, dancers, that, I mean, even the guy that owned, that started KFC.
He started what? 68 or something. Yeah.
So look at his legacy. You know, of course, I'm going to put it out there, KFC. Your chicken wings is getting a little small there. Like little Cornish hens, but I'm just putting it out there.
But, yeah.
You know, and I think of all of those people, like, that's what I focus on now. Like, not so much on them, but whenever I have the doubt in myself or the mind trickery comes along and the enemy wants to tell me, come on, girl, really? Like in your midlife right now, like, come on, really? And it's like, nope, KFC, nope, Danny Aiello, nope, this person, nope, that person. And then when I think about the introvert in me, I think of all the introverts who are quiet leaders, you know, Rosa Parks, Obama. I mean, you talking about Oprah Winfrey, you're talking about people who changed lives and made an impact. And that's my passion. Like, that's my greater vision, to make an impact and change lives. And I can't allow, like, yes, I'm an introvert, but I gotta get out of my comfort zone. I gotta get out of my own way, because they too were introverts. And look, so those are the things I have during my time of rest, and having a tribe remind me of the successes that I made, remind me of those steps I've walked. When they reminded me of that this week and on our call, because we have a call weekly, and when they pointed that out to me, and I ended that call, I inhaled and I exhaled. And that exhale was so gratifying, because it was like one of them said, I was seen in that conversation. And not only was I seen, I was heard. And not only was I heard, I was reminded of who I am and what I've been doing and where I'm going. So that was a beautiful exhale moment for me. And so here it is, July. I'm gonna enjoy the weekend and, you know, straighten up the area and get ready for the next season. And that's what we need to do, like, as creatives. We need to give yourself grace and allow yourself, like, the mistakes. I also had to learn not to dwell in my mistakes, because that's what I was doing, rehashing and dwelling in the mistakes. And that's not good either. That really, it just, you're just carrying on weight that if you spoke to, if you prayed and meditated on it, why you keep hashing it up? Like, let it go. And that's a process too. Like, learn from those mistakes. Those mistakes are part of our growth. Those mistakes are part of our creativity.
Yeah.
That's part
of it. We need them.
We need those mistakes. We need those obstacles to turn into opportunities. We need those challenges and talk, have it be life experiences. We need all of this. I mean, that's part of harmony. That's part of my heart language. That's part of, like, you know, you either have it be chaotic or you have it be harmonious. I choose harmonious, you know? You either walk around with those ugly labels and those negative thoughts and portray and reflect ugliness and vengeance and bitterness and anger. And yeah, no, I choose love. You choose to be a victim or you choose to be a victor. I choose to be a victim. You know, so this is part of, like, yeah, that's part of who we are as creatives. And that's part of the, excuse me, the creative process. And
yeah, it's holding it with open hands to let it be what it is, you know, like, yeah, you're molding it into what you want, but it's also just sometimes a beautiful mess, right? Like, we all know our workspace gets very messy when we're working on a project, and it can be cleaned up again and it'll get messy again, and we clean it up again. And it's just like, we know that within our physical space. And so how can we also do that with our mental and spiritual space as well? Like, it may feel like it'll never get cleaned up, but it will. It'll sort itself out when we keep showing up for ourselves and have that community to do some of that work with and sort it out.
An outside person, like, they would see our space and be like, how do you design in this nonsense? Like, but for us, when we look at it, it is organized.
It is, exactly.
Like you said, it's a beautiful mess. It is organized. Trust me, I know if you touch something, I'm going to know, and that's going to throw me off balance. That's going to throw me out of track, because it's like, I know in my mind, here is all my tools, here is the waxes, and here is this, the metals. If somebody was to come in and try to organize it, and I come back and I would be like, I didn't organize it. What did you do? What did you do? Leave it alone. Don't touch it. Because if I step away a day or two or three and I have to rest during that time, when I come back, that beautiful mess is going to get organized in a way, like you said, we clean it up, we put away things, we organize it, because now we are clear and we have a strategy, and now we take it out and it gets messy again. But this time that mess is not like the mess before, if that makes sense. It's not held up chaos. It's like, now that mess is like, you can still see your desk space or your bench space. You can still see it, but it's different. And each time you step away and each time you clean it up and you come back and bring more mess, that mess always changes, if that makes sense. Your workspace, your art space always changes. It doesn't, it's not as cluttered, because now you realize, I don't need to pull out all these hammers. I don't need to pull out all of these, like, jeweler's tools. Like, I have a strategy. I know what I'm making. All I need is this particular tool. I need this particular hammer. I need this wax. I need this particular sculpting wax tool for this. And then you have those things there. And then sometimes you take a break, and when you come back, those things are there. It's a mess, but it's not as crazy when you had 9 hammers on your desk, 9 sculpting tools on your desk, all of your, like, everything, your sketch pad, pencils, pens, markers, charcoal, all of this stuff on your desk, because you're thinking you need it all. No, it's different each time. When you come, and you have a strategy, you have a process, you clean it up and it's like, I'm making a wax mold of a ring. So I need this particular MAC wax, whether it's the blue one, the green one, or the purple. I know this is what I need. Here's my sculpting tools for the wax. Here's this, what I need for that. And that stays there. Now it's messy to somebody else. It's messy to me, but it's not chaotic mess. It's a beautiful mess.
Right. And you needed that initial learning time with everything on your desk to find out, you know, so like it wasn't wasted.
It wasn't.
Like we look back and it's like, why did I do it that way? Well, because I needed that.
Needed
to get to where I am today. And exactly. So yeah, I think
with life too, like
right.
Period. Like so yeah. Much of us as creators don't realize how when we look at our art space, how it reflects in other areas that we our dwelling space, our pocketbooks, or our wallet. Mm-hmm. You realize like, oh wow, this is really starting to pour out into these areas. And then when you clean it up and organize it, and it's just like, oh, exhale.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So a lot of us, it's a normal process for us in our world.
It is.
I must say beautiful, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's underrated, the creative community, right? Yeah. Because we're told in the messaging, just whatever, like our way of processing the world, our way of processing life, the way we live life is not how you should be. Yeah. You know, like you should have your finances here, you should be productive, you should it's not true.
Yeah.
Like we need us just as much as we need this, like more analytical thinkers. Like we need us both in this world because we do bring the beauty. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So that's what we're here for. And I mean, that's, I know part of my work, it's like, I don't want people sitting on what they can bring to the world because the world needs it. And so how can we get rid of all those things?
You're doing a great job. Like I see your posts and everything. And when I read it, I'm just like, oh, I needed that.
Oh, thanks.
So you're doing a great job as far as reminding us that we need to share us ourselves, share who we are. We need to be the additional light. Sorry for my mm-hmm. dog.
Good.
We need to bring the light, be that addition of light, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's in alignment with the spiritual light, you know.
Yeah.
Many of us, I truly believe we are his angels. You know, he's our creator and we're an extension of what he creates in the world.
Mm.
You know, he's created beautiful things nature-wise, in nature, in the earth. And I take those imperfections of nature and the raw elements of the earth and I make beautiful wearable art with my hands. My hands that I was told from a little girl, oh, they look so ugly and old looking for such a little girl.
Oof. Yeah. And
because of that, it was like when I got old enough with my first job, I was spending foolishly. Like I was immature in my spending because it was like when I look at my hands, I hear those words are repeated because they were embedded in my spirit. So being that it didn't infect my heart, the beautiful part of my heart was like, well, I'm gonna get my nails done every week.
Mm-hmm.
Have them look fabulous and really get like these diamonds on my nails on every, first it was on my pinky, then it was on my pinky and my index. Then one day I go to school and this is from high school. I get mm-hmm. them all on my nails, all 10 nails got diamonds, you know, the rhinestones, my toes got rhinestones. And it was like, you're spending your after school money and doing this, you know, but people will say, well, you're a teenager. That's what teenagers do. And then getting my hair done because I was told my hair was this way. And so I'm doing everything to have my hair look polished, you know? So these were the things that through grace and faith and maturity that I realized There's nothing wrong with me. There never was. Because when you start believing that, you're telling God he didn't create you the way he masterfully did. He loves us. And it hurts him that we destroy ourselves with words and the belief of what other people say, that self-depleting thing and those negative words that we beat ourselves with. It hurts our Heavenly Father. Because he didn't do that. So that's where my whole aesthetic started to come out. When I realized that aesthetic of beautiful imperfections was always there, I reconnected with that. And I started to bring it out into my living space. I started to bring it out into even how I dress myself. Like, it started to be a reflection of, like, I am a beautiful imperfection. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with it because I'm his daughter. I am that gem, that jewel in the center of his crown. And so is many of us. And we as creators are an extension of our creator. He created the world for us to enjoy, to not destroy, even though it's getting destroyed by many things, many forces. But those of us he's chosen as an extension of to be a creator, there's the balance, there's the harmony. There's where the harmony comes in, where you bring that out of us. That's where your blessing comes, where you're blessing us to, like, not hide that creativity. You know, even when I used to give me a DM, like, hey, how's it going? I know she was like, she's probably wondering why I'm not creating or why she's not seeing it. Like, I'm looking, I can't wait to see this. And I know that's your subtle way, but you're holding me accountable. You're reminding me that I have something beautiful that I've been blessed with, a gift. Don't leave it packaged up on that shelf. So whenever I see your DMs, I'm like, going to my shelf, dusting it off. Like, thank you. Thanks, Naomi. Yeah, so your gift is definitely what we creators need to be like, hey, and helping us understand it's okay, whatever it is we're going through at that moment, because that is part of our journey, our creative journey. That's part of our creative healing, if you want to put it.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, it's... I mean, we've all been going through it. Yeah. And if nothing hasn't been affecting you lately, wow.
I would say, I'll be there for you when you break down. But if anybody out there in the world listening to this is saying, yeah, that hasn't happened to me. That's not me. You're either in great denial or you're just some really, like, divine power on this earth. Brought down to this earth, because there's no way anybody can listen to this episode and feel like they have not identified with one thing either of us have said in this conversation. Like, there's no possible way.
Right. Because I think it's part of the human experience. Like, if you walk this, like, I'm mid-40s, like, if you walk this far down a road and have come out unscathed, like, one, I think that's a miracle. Or, like you said, you're in denial. Like, you know, you're not facing it. And there will be a day when you kind of have to, I think.
Yeah.
And I hope, and so,
and just hope they have such a strong support system and a tribe of people that when they go down that slippery slope, that they're there to catch them and help them back up. You know,
because you will come back from it if you a glimmer of hope, you just have to hang on to that.
Yeah, and that's what I did my whole entire life, was hold on to that glimmer of hope, and that glimmer of hope was my faith.
So important. So important. I love talking to you.
Thank you. I love talking to you too.
So much good stuff. So much good stuff. Yeah. So I'm curious, where you are. I know you are working on some bracelet designs. How's that going?
So it there has been some issues with the vendor getting our stuff through customs. I think a lot of this they don't want to say, but the war with Ukraine and Russia has a lot of these vendors don't want to admit that the metals and gemstones has played a part of this war. So there's the issue of it being conflict metals, the precious metals being conflict, gemstones being conflict. So there's that part. So I have to take what little I have right now, this is part of the rest, like receiving, and I've been receiving some new things of what to do with what I have now. And even though I don't have the finances to go to the next step, I'm not to worry about that because the provisions will come. I just need to do what I received recently as far as strategy, and taking the little materials I have. And just, it was something even Coach Courage mentioned about going back to the basics. And just doing that, just going back to the basic, one step at a time and releasing one thing at a time. I have materials, the leather hoop earrings, the Bella hoops, and I'm just going back to the basics.
Well, and that's using what you have. And that, I mean, because you're an ethical jeweler, and so that makes perfect sense that you want to get your materials
The right
in a
way.
conflict-free way. And that means having patience,
Yes, because I didn't.
to get
Ooh,
to
not
them.
patience. I
Well, it's
really
so hard when you want to get your hands on it and create,
when
but
especially when you've made announcements like this is coming and this is this and then blah 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 and then everybody's like, why you keep saying that? Like, so now you're starting to look like all talk and no action. Then you feel kind of like foolish. At least I did. I was feeling really foolish, like maybe I spoke too soon. And as an introvert and a creative, I have to really learn to go back to the basics of like doing and just showing up, doing and showing, doing and showing up. So I'm showing up in ways where now, like I'm going to be doing is going back to the basics of using the materials I have now, releasing it, letting everybody know it's available. I've come up with merchandise for my jewelry brand. So I've designed t-shirts and mugs, because with the outside noise that I was so focused on before the month of June, of like, we're going into another recession. That's what they were saying last month, in June. Now we're going into another recession. We're talking about famine. And I started to panic about all this. And I was really like, wait, what? On top of me not getting my materials, wait, what's going on here? So I had to shut that place down. I had to like shut it down. And, I take that to heart when I heard Coach Courage talk about going back to basics. And I was like, last night I went to sleep and I meditated and I said, okay, Lord, I get it. I get it. I get what June was about. I get it. So now I'm coming to you to ask for the provisions. I'm asking for my promises. I'm coming to you and I'm asking for the provisions, but I'm going to do my end and go back to the basics and produce what I have.
And that can be a fun time
Yeah.
because if you're like me, we have boxes of stuff that we're like, oh, let's just see, And so,
I did when I was organizing my boxes, my beautiful mess, and throwing out things that were not for me anymore. I'm like, why am I holding on to this? This is from a negative relationship. This is a negative memory. This is a trauma, an abusive memory that why am I holding on to this? Let me rid of it. So through that process, I found materials and I found this and I found old sketches and I was like, wait, what? it was just like Christmas for me.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
I was like, so I reorganized my room and my art space, my art corner, and I'm looking at my stuff and I'm like, oh, I have these tools. What? Oh my goodness. I'm so excited. So yeah, that's what I woke up to before our call. And I'm like, I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, and that's like a good tip for like creative blocks and stuff. Just do that menial kind of like, let me just clean and organize and because it's like when I like to walk around like Hobby Lobby or Michael's or Joann's, just to get those creative juices going, like the walk outside or in nature. And so like, that's what I like to do when I'm feeling in a funk.
When I get to go to trade shows where there's gemstones and I'm just like, oh. I'm like a kid in a candy store. I've even shown videos of me like, oh, gems, glorious gems. Like, oh.
Yeah. I want to send you some. I went to a gem market here and I was like, oh, yeah.
We need to because there's some people out there and I'm like, I don't know where I'm going to get it from, but I will send you the money. And I'm like, if you have time one weekend, can you go here for me?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I would love to scout for you.
There's some beautiful things out there that I would love to like incorporate that ties into my aesthetic of beautiful imperfections and nature and the raw elements of the earth. Like, and just, yeah, mixing it with these metals and precious stones. Like, yeah. So I'm excited. I mean, when I saw what I had, I'm like, oh, I forgot I got these gemstones. I forgot I got this. What am I stressing about? Okay. What am I stressing about? So going back to the basics and not talking, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Do it and show up. I'll talk about it.
Well, and I think there's seasons for that, right? And it sounds like you're moving into a season where your energy has been replenished because you've rested. You've been mulling over the ideas and now you're seeing new vision because you've touched your materials again, right? Yeah. Like we all have hidden stuff. So it's just like, okay, uncover those things and then we get going, you know? So time and a place for it all and not get too much in our heads that we wasted time or anything like that.
Yeah.
Just start where we are.
And proceed forward, basically. So yeah. So that's where I'm at. Going back to the basics.
Nice.
And showing up, being committed.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. So we will wait and see and be excited when we do see what you have in store, because creation does take time. So we can't rush stuff because we're not fast fashion around here. So
definitely not fast fashion around here.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's so awesome. So if people wanted to like reach out to you, connect with you, see what you're working on, where can they find you?
So to connect with me, to see what I'm working on, my jewelry process, that journey, they can follow me at Ria24K, which is RIA, the number 2, the number 4, and the letter K on Instagram. They can also find out the life of a jewelry artist and everything about my advocacy in the ethical jewelry movement and my advocacy for women and children of Native American, Indigenous, and Pan-African culture communities. They can learn more about what goes on outside of my bench, my jeweler's bench, on Instagram at The Bench Social on Instagram. And that's also my podcast, The Bench Social Podcast. And to know more about me as a creative and all things creative and the language of my heart language, and I say the heart of CM, they can follow me also on Instagram at I_am_TinaMaria on Instagram. So
nice.
That's to see my face when I want to show
you.
this introvert normally didn't like show up, but I'm been consistent. I've been.
You have. I've noticed, and I was like, "Go, girl!" Because it spurs me on as well.
Because it's like, what? I see you, and I'm like, okay, let me just. You saw me today. You won't see me for the next 2 days.
And that's fine too, right? Because that's like with this consistency thing, we know we have to be consistent, but like, I think in my head, it was like every day.
Yes.
But a consistent can be every week or whatever that looks like. Like I would love my podcast to come out every week, and unfortunately it's not, but I'm sticking with it. And, you know, so then I'm just kind of like, well, that is consistent, you know? So it's like kind of reworking what we think. Mm-hmm. Consistent means like it's not all or nothing,
right?
Because I feel like that's where we kind of get into too.
Yes,
but it's like continuing to show up.
We go from this point and then that, and it's that all or nothing mentality we have to let go of, that mindset we have to go of as creatives. Mm-hmm. It's not all or nothing. It's about the process. It's about the step. Your consistency is different from my consistency, and our consistency is different from another creative's consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us creatives like myself are multi-passionate. So how do we be consistent in all those multi-passions of ours?
Yeah.
And the consistency is one at a time, one step at a time with it.
Yeah.
And just giving ourselves grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ah, so good to catch up. Loved this so much just to see. Anytime, I think we could come back and talk about whatever. So yes, anytime. And I appreciate you recording this just so people know.
Yeah.
First one we did, I could not figure out. And this is where I'm learning too. Like, I have to function in my zone of genius. And what am I spending time on? Audio quality or audio, whatever, is not my forte. So thank you so much for doing this.
You know, I'm there for you. Anytime you need me, I'm there. Just, you know how to reach me for a drop a hat. Like,
yeah.
For my sisters, I make time.
Yeah.
It's like, if they say they want to show up, okay, I'm going to show up. You need me to do this. You want me for this podcast? I got you. So
yeah,
I
appreciate it.
Yeah. So anytime, you know,
same. Yeah.
Because I will be having you. Don't you worry.
Anytime.
This podcasting thing is new for me as well. Like I'm frustrated because it's the episodes are there from June for the new season and they're not showing up on my distribution. So That's what I'm working on today. I had to take a step back from that. So yeah, it's a process.
Yeah.
It's there. So
yeah,
it's a process, you know. I have to, of course, do the old school and put the link until it shows up. But that's something that I'm reaching out to the platforms that I record on and be like, all right, this is frustrating. Like this is, I need some rapid work. You know, and that creative in me, like that anxiousness, it's all or nothing. So that's a process that I am going to be learning today. Like, it's not all or nothing. This is a process. Mm-hmm. And know my ministry.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Learning part, that.
Learning that technical. I don't have patience for technology. I really don't.
I don't have the aptitude, is that what you would call it, for figuring, like my brain just doesn't work that way. Yes, I can learn, it just takes time. And
I learn in creative way.
Yeah. Show me the shortcut.
I learn visually. If you give me visually, then I get it and I can soar. But if you give it to me in numbers and calculations and figures, you'll just see this glazed look on my face. And then I'm thinking about a design, or I'm thinking about where else I could be instead of here. That's what happens to most of us creatives. Like,
I hear that so much. Yeah. I feel that too. So
thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks. Well, good luck on the technical project today. Rock it out. And Yeah, thank you for your time and sharing all your goodness today. So I really appreciate it.
Thank
and we'll
you
talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Okay. If you found this episode to be helpful, please feel free to share it. And if you'd like to leave a rating and a review, I'd appreciate that. If you'd like to connect, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Creative Purpose. If you have any specific questions you'd like me to talk on, you can leave them in my DMs.